Thank you for downloading the Broadmead Community Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy it.
Thank you, Rob. Good morning. I found during the worship this morning my watch heart monitor went off as we were singing "He's Worthy of It All." And it's telling me my heart rate's going up. Now, I don't know if that's because I'm nervous, but I believe that it is because being in the presence of God, when you start worshiping, everything starts to rise inside you. And it's such an exciting thing, isn't it? It's so good to be with you. I always enjoy being with church. Sometimes, if I'm honest, I struggle to come out to church. There are occasions where I think, just sit here, you know, maybe miss it this Sunday. But actually, I find that I need to get up and move and come out because I thoroughly enjoy when I'm here. I love seeing people and I love being with the body of Christ. And this morning, we're continuing in our series about being the marks of discipleship. And this morning, we're looking at engaging in community. And the main marks for this session of engaging in community is the marks of a disciple is someone engaged in a community of believers, learning to live and grow together, not just attending like you would if you went to the cinema. You know, you go in, you get your ticket, you sit down, you have a great time, you watch the film, that was amazing, walk out, and that's the end of it. That's not what this is about. This is about a lot more than that. This actually, if you don't believe it, but I believe it, this is life-changing. When you and I come together, this is life-changing. It's not about coming and just sitting in the seat and then having a good time, saying hello to a couple of people, and then off you go. It's much more than that. And I hope this morning that you will get the idea that we want everybody to be part of the community here at Broadmead Community Church, as we've changed our name to. So this morning we're going to be looking at the disciples, the calling of the disciples, and the people that were called. And then we're going to look at how we work within the community here, within Broadmead, and moving out. I'm not going to give you all the answers, but I pray that God's Spirit will speak to you as we share together. So the verses that we're looking at this morning come from Mark's Gospel. And it's Mark's Gospel chapter 3, and starting at verse 13. And I just want to read these to you. Jesus has been going around, he's been healing people, and then he takes the people aside, the disciples, and more people that were following him. And this is what happens. Afterwards, Jesus went up onto a mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him. And they came to him, and then he appointed the 12 of them and called them apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them to preach, to give authority and cast out demons. These are the 12 that were chosen: Simon, whose name is Peter, James and John, son of Zebedee, but Jesus nicknamed them Son of Thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who was later betray him. These are the people that he called. Then if you flip over to chapter 6 and verse 6, we get these words. Then Jesus went from village to village, teaching the people, and he called the 12 to gather and begin sending them two by two and giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. Wherever you go, he said, stay in that same house until you leave town. But if anyone refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed the sick, anointing them with olive oil. Our Father, we just pray that your word would come alive this morning. Father, I pray that you will touch our hearts in a new and fresh way. And Father, I just pray that by your Holy Spirit that you would speak to each one of us this morning. Holy Spirit, we give you free rein to say what you need to say through me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus calls 12 disciples. There was a lot more people that were following Jesus, but he called a closer-knit group of people. And the idea was that he wanted them to share life together day in and day out. He wanted them to learn from each other and also to learn from Jesus. They were going to learn so much together doing community. And when you do community, you sharpen each other. And there's a verse in the Bible that talks about iron sharpening iron. You know, as you brush alongside each other and share with each other, something changes within you and something changes within the other person. You sharpen each other. You challenge each other. And that's what that Jesus was wanting to do with the disciples. He was wanting to do that with them, to sharpen them. But, you know, we know, because we know the further story. Jesus, if you add into that the Holy Spirit, what an amazing difference that is going to make. And what happened with the disciples was they changed the world. They changed the world. They had a massive impact on the world. Making disciples starts with ordinary people like you and me. And the potential to our relationships to be used by God is through the Holy Spirit working within us. Now let's take a look at the disciples. An interesting bunch. Peter, original name Simon, was given the name by Jesus later as Peter the Rock. And if you go further than that, on the church, Jesus would build the rock, and Peter was a symbol of that. Then you've got James and John, the brothers, nicknamed Sons of Thunder. I reckon that they were nicknamed that because they were loud, obnoxious, hot-headed. I wonder if any of you are loud, obnoxious, and hot-headed. No, Steve? Okay. Andrew, a fisherman. Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, a tax collector, a traitor, a cheat, an impure, despised by his own people. Thomas, remember Thomas the doubter, needed to see the handprints of Jesus to see where the nails had gone. Then there's James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and then Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. Not the type of people you would expect to be called by Jesus. Doubters, tax collector, fishermen, hot-headed people, introvert, extroverts, people that are going to betray. Sounds a bit like you and I, doesn't it? But for Jesus, to call these guys shows the radical nature of grace and acceptance and the power of Jesus to surprise and shock. They weren't the typical apprentice. Let's take a look at Matthew, the tax collector, called by Jesus to follow him. As I said earlier, people regarded him as a traitor and a cheat and impure and despised by his own people. Tax collectors weren't popular in the day. They're not much popular in this day and age either. But he was called. He was called by Jesus to take up and leave the past behind and to get behind Jesus. Now, in Bible times, you will know that in the Jewish faith, when you follow the teacher, they encourage you to walk behind. And as you walk along, the dust comes up. And the whole point is that you learn, that you take on what the teacher is telling you. And that's what the disciples are being called to do. There was no roadmap. It was just a case of Start a journey with me. There was no joining ceremony. There was no need to go to a Bible college. Everything is about the one who calls, Jesus who called. It's a personal invitation to enter into a relationship of trust and love. And at that point, that calling of Jesus, there's no room for questions. There's just Jesus. And we have to take the step. Now, Jesus didn't choose people that were qualified. He chose people who were willing to say yes, and then he would qualify them. Jesus didn't choose people who were qualified. He chose people who were willing to say yes, and then he would qualify them. I wonder about ourselves. Are you waiting to be qualified before serving him? Have you been sitting in church for weeks, for months, even years, waiting for the day Jesus will call you? Because you see people standing up the front leading worship. You see people standing preaching, and you think that they are the ones that are called. Well, let me just let you know that we're called just as much as you're called. We are no better than you. Jesus calls you. And what he says is, are you willing to say yes? He wants you to say yes, and he wants you to serve him. And he will take care of the empowering. I remember the first time I got up to preach. I still am, but a nervous wreck. But I remember when I first got up to preach. I've always been somebody who has struggled with the fact that I've never felt that my voice is needed to be heard. I've always kind of been told, you keep quiet. So the thought of standing up the front and preaching to you guys was not something that I particularly relished, because I had never thought that I really had something worth saying. But God has a way of pushing you out of that and changing things. And here I am today. So if you say yes, beware. It might not be what you expect. Because, you know, it's true, isn't it, that we so often have our own idea of what we think our Christian life should be like, of how it's going to be, how it's going to pan out. But when God comes in, it totally changes. It is not what you expect. And I wonder if you are feeling that you're waiting to be qualified, can I just tell you that you are qualified? And I would also go as far as to say, stop mucking about. You're qualified. Full stop. We'll end the sermon there. But you know, we so often get caught up in ourselves. We get caught up in what we've done. You know, I've done this and that. Oh, I'm not good enough. I can't live up to the standard. But Jesus, he looks at you and he sees the potential. You are full of potential. And Jesus sees who he created us to be. In his eyes, we are potential, not a mistake. We are full of purpose. We are not a blunder. We are full. He sees our destiny and he invites us to live in the identity that you have in Christ. You are new creations created in the image of the living God. To be called is to enter into a journey where we stay as close to Jesus as we can for the whole of our lives. We are followers, always trying to watch, listen, and learn from Jesus. Scripture says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me, and I will do the rest. The initial call of Christ is the most personal and intimate call. But to keep going, we have to work in community. You cannot do it on your own. You can keep going for so long on your own. But it involves a community of disciples. Now, Jesus had a group of disciples. It was all the people that were following him. But he took a group of 12, and then he broke that down. And we need to do the same at times. We need to gather people around us. And the principles are the same. And we are the church. And we're gathered to support one another. I wonder this morning, did you come in thinking, oh, I'm going to support you this morning? There's these people there, I'm going to support them. Yay, to Broadmead people. No. Or is it a case of you came because you just want to sit here and then go out? Because that's not being part of the community. Being part of the community is getting involved. It's to support one another. It's about learning to together to gain strength, to know exactly what Jesus is saying to you, to show the world Jesus. That's our mission, is to show the world Jesus. We are the representatives of Jesus. All of us are the representatives of Jesus. So if you don't feel capable this morning, I can tell you, you are capable. No matter where we are in our faith, community provides us with strength. Being around others gives us a chance to learn and grow, and it can take us into a wonderful but sometimes challenging journey. It's beautiful, it's enhancing, it's exciting. But to go the way of Jesus is also to face misunderstanding, pain, and alienation in the world. We are walking against the storms of the culture and the kingdom of this world. And it's not always easy being a Christian. Don't think the Christian life is rose-colored spectacles, because it's not. There are moments where it is the awesomeness of God, like my heart rate going up when I felt the presence of God. There are those awesome moments. But there's day-to-day life, and it's hard. And applying the truths of Jesus in the complex, all the complexities of our relationships and culture, we need people with us who really know us and love us and with whom we can be honest. Proverbs 27:17 is the verse that says, as iron sharpens iron, so a person sharpens another. We are called to come together, and we've gathered this morning because we want to meet with Jesus. We want him to touch our lives, but we want to give our lives to him. He's got so much he wants to give us. And he invites us to come and receive from him. We can spend our life overcomplicating things with programs. And there is a place for programs. But we need to learn together. We need to engage together. We need to live together. We need to pray healing over each other. We need to grow together. We need to witness together. You've got somebody sitting next to you. You might know them, you might not know them. But they're wanting to do that as well. They're wanting to grow. They're wanting to share faith. They're wanting iron sharpen iron from you this morning. So I wonder this morning whether you've just said, hello, how are you? Nice day. Jesus wants us to go further. He wants us to go deeper. Surface level is all right when we first arrive. But he wants us to go deeper. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, when individuals work together, they can double the strength and get much more done as a team. They also reap and value They also reap the value of working in unison, thus creating harmony instead of discord. Working as one, people begin with the efforts of each person as they work with each other. For us, this has been an unprecedented year times for the church. As much as we would like to get back to normal, as the phrase has been, things have changed. We have lost people along the way. Some have died, some have moved on. Some have still not found the courage to come back to church. New people have arrived. And we're all of us are having to find new ways to rebuilding the community here, to making new connections, getting to know people again. We've not seen people for so long that we kind of need to get to know them again. We need to make the new connections. Fellowship is so vital for our walk with God. And we can get so distracted by thinking that following someone on social media is the same as a community. However, there is no replacement for face-to-face and personal contact, because that's how God designed it. And I am so grateful for all the things that we've done online. I'm so grateful for those who'll be watching online today. But face-to-face contact is what Jesus wants. He doesn't want us hidden away. He wants us together, shining our light for him. Jesus designed that we do this in the context of community, and it's impossible to completely follow God without walking with other people. Having other people in our lives will balance us out. It's not just a personal thing, but community. There are people that God has placed around you who you could get alongside, people who long to go deeper with them, people who haven't even encountered him yet. Also, the reality is that Jesus focused relationships on mutuality. So you will benefit as much as the other person. The question is, are you willing to make yourself available to take the time that is needed? In Mark 6, we're reminded that Jesus sent his disciples out in pairs, and I think it's Proverbs that says that two are better than one, and everybody relates that to marriage. But actually, it's in this case, two people together. And in biblical times, if two people told a story or a situation to the authorities, if one person did it, they wouldn't really pay much attention. But if two people did, attention was paid. And Jesus knows that we need support and we need encouragement. And he gives them lots of instructions about not taking certain things with them. You know, no change of clothes. I'll let you have a pair of sandals. I'll let you have a rod. And then he says, go and stay in a house with some people, and when it's time to leave, if you go on your way. But there may be times where you go someplace and people don't want to know anything. Then just shake your feet, shake the dust off your feet, and leave them to it. And I think, you know, we can get so caught up in baggage. We can carry so much with us. And really, all we need is Jesus. Because you and I are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he is the one that will do what we need. He will fill us. He will give us the words to speak. He will be the one that will show us who to speak to. But there are going to be occasions. And I've got a friend of mine that I work with, and she's always saying, oh, the God lady, because there's one of the ladies that I work with, she's always you know, Jesus, Jesus, and, you know, and she just calls her the God lady. But I'm so grateful for that lady, because she has the courage to say, Jesus, Jesus, you know, and, you know, I'm going to be praying for this, or I'm going to be praying for that. And that's her expression of her faith. She knows that Jesus can make a difference. But we need to recognize that some people are going to reject the message. And that's not your problem. So often we think that is our problem. We think we've failed. But our task is to tell people to go where we're told by God. That's our task. He will do the rest. And if people reject, we do also have to shake the dust off our feet and leave them in God's hands. God's timing is perfect in everything. And sometimes we just want it there and then. And we maybe our role is just to say something to somebody. And then years down the line, somebody else comes along and has an impact. And years down the line, I used to always feel for pastors and churches, because they preach the word of God week in, week out. And then you used to have these big evangelistic events where people like Billy Graham would come. And thousands pour to the front. And I'm so grateful that they all came to the front, but I feel for the pastors who are working day in and day out. Why aren't thousands coming here to the front? They have a part to play. And there are those that come to the front, and there are those, but sometimes we want it in the thousands, but God just wants us to be with each other, to get alongside each other, to encourage each other. And where the fruit of that comes is not our responsibility. He's still using you. But what a responsibility Jesus has given to us and to the disciples in that moment. You're going to go off and you're going to heal. You're going to cast out demons. You know, you're going to bring somebody to Jesus. They're going to turn their life around. That's our mission too. That's our mission too. We're going to step out. We're going to have the Holy Spirit with us, who's going to go and he's going to say, there's a person there now. I want you to speak to that person. I want you to talk to that person. And then somebody's going to come and say, I need Jesus. And somebody else is going to come and say, you know, I need healing. And somebody else is going to come for something else. But our role is to give Jesus to them. That's our role. We can't do the rest. So if you're exhausted trying to be a Christian, it's time you let the Holy Spirit take control. Because you don't need to be exhausted. You know, it's the same for us today. We have got to partnership in mission. We have got so many things going on in the church at the moment that are God intervened. It's not something that we've done. It's just something that God has done. And story after story could be told to you. And we have told you some of those stories. Adam has shared, Mary shared a number of these things. But God is doing amazing things. You know, our young people and children are hidden away at the moment. But God is doing things through them. God is working in their lives. So when they're in their session, they're being taught to live by the Holy Spirit, just as we are to live by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what age you are. He's using each one. So I wonder, what will you do with the responsibility that you have to follow Jesus? Are you willing to step out in faith? F-A-I-T-H. To be faithful to the calling that God has given to you. To be available. to be involved. As you go out this morning, there is a board with a whole lot of things where you can get involved. Take a phone number and at least have a conversation with the person that's looking to set that group up. You might be the person that's to be involved in that. You might just be the person that needs to speak to them and just encourage them, saying, you know, I can't be involved just now, but I'm going to be praying for you. You know, there are many things that you can get involved in. And our involvement will vary due to our other commitments. But don't just come and sit here on a Sunday and expect to get it all and go out and not participate. It doesn't run on a few people, although sometimes it feels like it's running on a few people. And I get quite upset when people come and they criticize. When people come and they criticize Adam for some of the decisions that are made. And they sometimes do it in public. And I do not think that is acceptable. We are supposed to be building one another up and encouraging one another. And yes, we may have our criticisms about things, but have a word with people in private. Don't pour out your dirty laundry to people just because you've got a grudge about something. That is not community. Jesus wants us to live in community as transformed people. The call of a disciple is to emerge not with lukewarm faith, but with a hunger for Christ, with a hunger above anything else. Chronicles says this, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, the eyes of the Lord ranges throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is strengthening you this morning. Are you hungry to know him? Is your heart pulsating with that hunger? Are you hungry to see people's lives transformed? The invitation to follow Jesus is open to everybody, whether it's for the first time that you hear the story that Jesus died on a cross because he loves you so much and you're the most important person to him in that moment, that he reveals his love to you. Or are you the lukewarm? Have you become lukewarm? Everything has been hard. And I know during the pandemic, spiritually for us, things got hard. But God wants to stoke that flame again. He wants to fan it and get it to rise. You know, we sang a song, Incense Arise. That incense needs to arise this morning. That incense needs to fill this place with the aroma of Christ. And you have a part in it. So this morning, community. As a disciple, we have to be part of a community. He calls you into a life of relationship with him, to do community with each other and reach a community outside of here who needs to know and have their lives transformed by Jesus. Come on. This morning, I believe that there are those of you that need to respond in terms of the first time of not knowing Jesus and you want to know Jesus. And I want you to respond to that. But there's also those of you this morning who your faith has become lukewarm and you don't know how to change that. There are people who want to help you discover how you can have that passion for God again. And we're going to sing a song called Breathe. This is the air I breathe, your holy presence in me. And then we're going to go into communion, because part of the church is that in the Gospel of Acts, where the church first started, they came together, they worshipped together, they prayed together, they had fellowship together, and they had communion together. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to share Jesus with each other this morning. And I could call you to the front, but I believe actually that you're sitting next to somebody this morning that needs prayer, that needs encouragement. And I want to encourage you this morning that as we worship with this song, that you would pray for the person next to you. Just lay your hand on their shoulder if they will allow and just say, can I pray for you? And just pray for them. And if you do want further prayer, I'm more than happy. I'm sure Mary and others would be more than happy to pray later on after communion when we continue in worship. If you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit this morning, maybe you need healing this morning. Maybe you need healing for somebody else this morning. Come on behalf of somebody else. We're community together. It's not about the people on the prayer here when they come here to pray. It's about you together praying. Go from that end to that end, from that end to that end. Cross over here. You're allowed to move about. Be community this morning. So let's stand and let's sing as we move into worship. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would empower us as we come into your presence afresh, as we come in worship, as we lift up our voices to you. Holy Spirit, would you show us who you want us to pray for this morning? Would you show us who we could encourage? Would you show us who we need to pray for healing? Holy Spirit, would you just come and would you have your way amongst us this morning? We are your body, we are your community, and we want to be used by you this morning. So we open our hearts to you. This is the air we breathe, your holy presence living in us. Come, Holy Spirit, amongst us afresh.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not check us out on all social media platforms or visit broadmead.org.uk.